This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. The Cowboys Podcast is sponsored by BetDSI. For over 20 years, BetDSI has been providing easy and safe betting for all your favorite sports events. Go to cowboyspodcast.com/bet and use the promo code COWBOYS10 to get a free $10 deposited into your account. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? This is Jono, and I got Steve-O next to me. How are you doing out there, Steve-O?
We got a lot of shit to get to today, bud.
Oh, I say we do. We got a game that we played. We lost 20-19, Cowboy Nation. It was a tough one to swallow, that's for sure.
It was most definitely tough to swallow. I think
heartbreaking.
We handled a lot of stuff that we looked at from last week's show as far as what we needed to handle, and to still come up on the short end of the stick in what we needed, a win at home there to set the tone for the NFC East. I'm telling you, being 0-1, going into next week, week two is a must win. So tell me your thoughts on week one. What'd you see out there?
Well, first off, did you know that the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they've always started the season off at 0-1, and they've always been competitive. So let's learn one thing from their book. Not this year. They won this year. But before then, they've always started off with an 0-1 record. But in any case, my point is we can come back here, folks. Let's not abandon ship. We lost 20-19. I did see couple good spots and pretty much a couple bad spots that I think our public out there, Cowboy Nation, just seen as well, that I just was not too enthusiastic going into 15 more games like this. This will kill me, buddy.
It's going to drive you nuts, and I think I got a perspective on this that we'll get to here in a minute that might shed a little bit of light on the Cowboys' demeanor out there on the field, and I'm not too happy about it, and I think we'll get a lot of agreement with this.
Hey, you know what? We got a lot of emails. We got a lot of messages about Terrence Williams. And, folks, before we have a lynch mob on Terrence Williams, let me tell you this. It wasn't Terrence Williams, okay? He's not the problem, and he was not the problem. The problem was that defensive line. That defensive line we talked during the game. And for 10th minute into the third quarter, we go, hey, you know what? They're galvanizing. They're putting it together right now. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose again, man. You can't have that. And you know what? You got a big-time linebacker back there, Lee. I know. What'd you have, like six solos, four? I don't know. He did have a lot of tackles, but my God, man. We are leaving that middle wide open here. We're getting a 7, 8, 10 yards of carry on these guys? Linebacker, fill the goddamn hole. We know that these guys aren't doing their job up front. Move the linebackers up.
It looked like the Giants' offensive line was what we expected the Cowboys' offensive line to do.
Jesus Christ, you're right.
And that's where, I get you want to go ahead and talk about the defense. Well, we knew the defense was going to be short, okay?
Right.
That we knew, but we had to get into – a punch off here. And at the end of the day, if you're only going to score 20 points and you're going to put it on your defense to hold the team under 20 would have tied. But if you're going to put it on your defense, we're in for a long season. We knew we were short there. We knew we had to score points. And to get 15-play drive, field goal, and not punch it in. And this is where I'm going to get to it. I'm going to fire you up. If you're ready for it.
I'm ready, man. I've been ready for 3-4 days waiting.
We might have to get your high blood pressure pills out. The deal. Jason Garrett is calling games like he's a backup quarterback for Troy Aikman.
Wait, he is too concerned. He doesn't call the guy.
He's running the
guy some credit.
He's running the team. His demeanor, he had the easiest job in sports, right? He was a backup quarterback to Troy Aikman and won 3 Super Bowls. That's what this team's mentality is with Dak Prescott.
I can't get on him, though. He's not He's the puppet guy right there. He's not the one that's doing all the calls on offense at all. Matter of fact, he doesn't call anything.
I know, but
offense.
He's fine. He is fine when you have Romo, who's a gunslinger back there. But if you got a rookie quarterback who's going to be listening to the coaches and listening to the game plan and trying to execute that, you get down in the red zone. This guy's not trying to make any big-time plays there, and we need that to punch it in.
I would have walked up to the offensive coordinator and go, hey, look, you've been throwing everything short. I know we went long a couple times, but we got to open this shit up. Open it up, one, and number two, get Prescott more involved in running. Once he runs, then that'll freeze the linebackers a little bit. Then the next play, what you got is you got an inside middle there that'll be wide open for a pass and stuff like that. You know what? I'm telling you right now, that offensive line did what I wanted them to do, third down and short. We talked about that during the game, too. I was very proud of them there. That was one of my big critiques of last year, that we couldn't get that third down and one. We got that job done. I'm going to say this, though. I just did not see our Elliott running back hitting the hole like he's supposed to. I don't like him going outside too much, all right? We have never done good with that. Even when we had DeMarcus back there, he kind of went on the outside of the tackle. I mean, he broke it out from there, and then when we go outside, we are not that type of offense at all.
No, not at all. And you know, and that's where I get to this whole thing, man. And we talked about that third and one. I saw a lot of second and ones, and this is why I say conservative. Okay, I don't give a shit who's calling the plays. It's the head coach who's controlling everything. He signs off on everything, right? So what I'm looking at is we had a lot of second and one, second and two, and we were converting those. We were getting 2, 3, 4 yards and converting those. That traditionally is your play where you're looking to break it open with a Dez or a Terrence Williams to extend the field, and we weren't doing that. We had 26 check down passes to Witten and Bailey. 26?
Right.
Those guys are coming off the board.
Very good point.
They're coming off the board in every fantasy football league out there, every PPR league out there.
Kill, these guys kill,
are,
kill!
These guys are flying off the board. 26 targets between the two. What's that tell you?
Well, it showed me one thing. I mean, you're going to say one thing different than me on this, but I think that our Prescott quarterback, he felt the inside. He felt the short passes were his ticket. I don't know if they told him or got him on a short leash the first week to say, "Don't open it up. Let's get the short passes. Let's get those done first." How many times are you gonna throw to Cole Beasley, for the love of God?
They did it 15 times, I think. 12 times. 12 targets. But here's the deal. And that's what I'm talking about.
And catch the ball when you have to, Beasley. I mean, Jesus Christ, we would have been inside the 5-yard line on one, and then Aikman, my favorite guy in the world, announcing the game, him and Buck said, "Well, that could have been a little high." The hell it was. That was right there. That was there. Where are you gonna throw it?
Yeah. Don't get me started on Beasley. I love the kid, right? But for Christ's sakes, when you have a first down, get to the first down. Quit coming back 3 yards. Let me tell you, it might not have happened to kill us this game, but there's going to be a game where this guy had the first down. He's going to try to make some move. You're not that kid. Remember, that's not your game. He's going to make some move. The ball's going to get knocked out of his hand. Somebody coming from his backside.
I'm
going to fumble it. Listen. It drives me.
It happens every year.
Every year, it drives me nuts. Catch the ball, get going north.
Dive forward.
Get going north.
Dive forward. You see the yellow. Well, we see the yellow, and you should see the flag. Dive forward. Get the first down. That 2-3 yards. I don't understand what it is with us. All of a sudden, we want to get that 2-3 yards too.
Name one time Beasley's broken it off for another 30 or 40 yards and gone in for a touchdown.
We got to talk to him. We got to
get him on the phone.
There's no way I could accept that. Our offensive line, come on, man. This Collins, you get two yellow hankies thrown at you back-to-back or something like that. I mean, hell, folks, we can't have that. We cannot have penalties back-to-back. We cannot have – especially when we're making some plays happen, and especially when it's a tight football game like that, and the Giants D stepped up. They were playing hard. Every yard matters, and God damn it, we can't give 5, 10, 15 yards every time we do something stupid out there on the offensive line side.
Yeah, and I liked the way – I thought we played a fairly clean game. We know that – and damn, I feel like we're bouncing around because we get into this conversation.
No, we are.
You know, Claiborne had his couple of holes like we talked about.
We'll talk about him, too.
I thought we had a fairly clean game.
You're not sleeping by me, Morris.
No, no. And at the end of the day, I was disappointed with our run blocking. Our pass blocking, I thought, looked real good. But, damn, Witten is 104 years old, and you got him trying to run block. I saw he got beat at least three times in the first quarter. Bad. And that's starting to frustrate me. I get it. You can't, you know, telegraph it, but you got to have a better blocker out there for him. With our offensive line and the way I like to do things, here's my best guys. Put your best guys out there, and I'm going to run it down your goddamn throat. That's what I want to do.
You know what, though? I'm going to say this. When it's to what I said about 5 minutes ago, you have Morris back there, seven rushes for 35 yards, averaging 5 yards a carry. What is he doing different than Elliott? He's hitting the hole that he's supposed to hit, and he's then breaking it outside and all that, or breaking it. To my mind, you cannot pussyfoot out like that and think you're going to – this is the NFL, son.
This, correct.
So, this is the NFL.
So what do they say? What do they say? Okay, high school, you got your high school team. You get to Division I, everybody at Division I's an all-stater,
right?
Okay. When you get to the NFL, everyone in the NFL was an All-American.
Yeah.
So think about that. So the things that you were doing in high school or college don't necessarily translate that you're going to be able to do those in the NFL,
quite right. And that's why I'm kind of bringing this up. I kind of question what you just said a minute ago about our offensive line not opening. If they were opening up the holes like they're supposed to, that a running back – hits the hole and supposed to run where he's supposed to run, I think you got a different outcome on the running back status.
Yeah, and at that point,
you're not going to run around the side like that, man.
I would have liked to seen Alfred Morris get a couple more touches.
Why not? He was on a roll, wasn't he?
Yeah,
they pulled him out of the game too.
Zeke had 2.5 yards per carry average. I can tell you this: that is not going to cut it, and work the game plan that we want to work, okay? It's not – we're not a 3 yards in a cloud of dust, okay?
No.
But we're a 5 and a 6, take a chance down the field, you're third and short if you don't get it, and let's go ahead and bust another 5 or 6 and get into the first down situation. And Alfred Morris showed he could do this.
There's no question about it, Steve-O. This guy has been around the NFL. He's rushed against us. You know that from the past. This guy can definitely play. I think we got to have a committee back there. He needs more reps.
I think you're right. I mean, I would have liked to seen him get more than just 7 carries.
Pull him out?
I think you got to give Elliott obviously, he has to have his fair share. But at the end of the day,
I'm looking for a W, my man.
I know, but at the eye test, you could see Morris was more effective running the ball than Zeke was. And when you get late into the game, and you got to have that, man. You got to have that guy that can get there 5, 6, 7 yards. And he had a 5 yards per carry average.
Let me see what you think about this. When Elliott touched the ball, it seemed he wanted to run violent. I mean, he had a violent run to him. And you're not going to get that done in the NFL. Morris, on the other hand, it was like, you know what? I got to get through this hole, and then I'm going to burst it out. It was like he's not making a statement. Morris wasn't making a statement. Morris was like, hey, you know what? I got to make this hole. And I think Zeke got caught in the Zeke every time he carried the ball. Forget that.
His couple of hits on Richard Sherman in the preseason might have got him a little fired up thinking that was going to carry over and continue to do that. And at the end of the day, there's a scheme out there. There's a run scheme. There's a run plan. And he didn't execute. The offensive line didn't create a big enough hole for him to see whatever. We're not into X's and O's on here. We're not going to do it. This is what we're looking at. But I agree with you. He needs to get better. And we're hoping that this Washington game, seeing what D'Angelo Williams did to him for 150 and 2 touchdowns, that maybe Zeke will come out there and gain some of that swagger.
Well, it's all up to the kid's mind frame, and you know what? You're not above the game, and I don't think he feels he's above the game, but they just got to set him in the right direction on where to hit these holes, and You're not going to outpower these big defensive linemen, okay? You're not going to run over them. You may have run over some Ohio University when Ohio State played Ohio University, but you're not going to pull that off in the NFL. NFL, not for long.
Not for long.
That's what it stands for.
So when we look at that, and this is what I was talking about with the whole Garrett thing. So Prescott goes 25 for 45 for 227 and no touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time Romo had a line like that? I mean, Romo's been good for 300 and a touchdown or two almost every game.
Are we going to do this, though?
This is what,
wait,
what
you can't do this. Stop it.
But what I'm saying is, did he get a little bit conservative?
I'm telling you, I just broke it down. They're not letting the kid toss the ball. They want him to give those 5-10 yard. And you know what gets me, Steve-O, and I guarantee you're on my side on this one as well. You got a third down marker that's 10 yards. You can't throw the ball 5-6 yards. And that they're giving you that. They're inviting you to throw that ball. Yeah, Beasley, you'll catch that ball. Yeah, Witten, you'll catch that ball. You gotta extend the play, and that's what made Romo kill, make that so effective.
Absolutely, and that's probably the most frustrating call in the NFL, in football in general. Third and 6, and you run a 4-yarder, you know?
Right.
Third and 11, and you run 7 yards.
Right.
I mean, you got to get to the marker. Give yourself a shot here. If you go incomplete, oh well.
We were talking about it in the game. We said, what the hell is the screenplay to Witten when we're deep in our end zone? I mean, at least throw it to a back. Throw it to a running back where he's got it. You think Witten could rumble and stumble 15, 20 yards?
Well, the sunlight tackled him on a couple of plays.
Yeah, and why are we throwing at the sun? So you got that whole opposite end, and you got Dez on the other side. For love of God, look over there a little bit.
So I did a little research on this. First and foremost, you got a $1.5 billion stadium down there.
Okay? Oh, it's their whole thing with God looking down.
No. So it was actually architecturally, it was designed as a cornerstone of a development down there. So once that development happens, the sunlight won't be a factor. But until then, for Christ's sakes, you got to practice on that field some so you're used to it. Okay? Any baseball player, any football player, any basketball team, anybody will tell you got to practice in your facility that you're going to play in. That's how you get home field advantage. I played a lot of ball. I can tell you at 6:30 on a midsummer's night in Edwardsville, I don't want to play on the turf field because at second base because it's going to blind me. The turf is going to have a glare. There's going to be a parking lot over here.
Right.
Somebody's going to park there. It's going to be a glare. I can't see. I don't want to be over there. 7:15, I'm fine. But you got to get down there and practice that. There should be no excuse that you don't have that down, that facility down, and it's a home field advantage, and you're throwing into the sun there. That's a mistake that the Giants should make, not the Cowboys.
And here's another thing. I got a lot of things. But is this part of Dez now? Every time it goes in, balls in the end zone, we got a hand out of bounds. We got a ball that drops. I mean, come on. You got to hang on to that ball. That was your ball. I don't know. I mean, you know what? I'm no position to say anything, believe it or not.
Sure you are. You're the host of the radio show.
But you know, I just like to see one time just something like that go our way. Every time it's under review in the end zone with Dez, you bet your ass they're going to call it back. It almost seems like that every time now.
Right. And I don't want to get on a bandwagon after week one here, but we talk about it every time we do a show. Big-time players make big-time plays.
Bring
and big
the goddamn
games.
Ball down.
He had 5 targets. There were 3 of them that were 50-50 balls, maybe 60-40 balls, maybe 70-30 balls. Who gives a shit? But at the end of the day, Dez is supposed to be that receiver that, hey, if it's a 1 in a million, I'm going to catch it.
Right.
And we have not seen that, whether it's by hook or crook, by the referees taken away from us or NFL instant replay. But we haven't seen him win those balls. A.J. Green won them this week. Antonio Bryant won it this week. Right? Antonio Brown, I'm sorry. I mean, you go through all these guys, you see these receivers, these elite guys, and that's what Dez is supposed to be. He's supposed to be that guy where throw it up, he's going to come down with it, And
if it's playable, if it's playable, I definitely think. Like the corner shot, I thought that was his. There was another one that was thrown behind him. You know what? Aikman, he can't catch that, okay? Don't say, well, if he could talk bullshit, I'm not buying that. Now, I agree. Every time, though, that we get the ball, he gets the ball in the end zone, it goes to review. What's our percentage on that? Have we won those?
Never.
It just seems like it's a low percentage or nothing. But, yeah, Dez, 8 yards. And maybe we got to start looking at him more, too. You get that guy involved, he's not going to be pissy on the sideline. He's not going to be big. Once you get this guy, he'll fire up the team. And isn't it ironic that we've always had that type of wideout? We've had the Michael Irvins. We've had our, Tim Owens. Terrell Owens. We've had Terrell Owens. And now we've got our guy here, Dez, and he does the same thing. And it's not like something new here. We've had these type of players adjust to these players, help them out.
Well, see, that goes back to the whole, what are they taking off of Dak's plate here? Because Romo is going to, you know, kill, and he's going to get it to his guy, all right?
Tapping the head.
And it seems like Dez was happy then. You know, he's going to throw it to him. Hey, give him a shot. All Dez wants is a shot. Now, granted, he's not coming down with all of them. Okay, he had five targets. But all of a sudden you get these check down plays, and that magnifies everything because you're down, you're losing. Now Dez is unhappy because he's a playmaker and he wants the ball and he's not getting enough of them. But if God dang Bailey they're getting everything underneath here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Last seconds of a basketball game, don't you look for LeBron? Don't you look for Jordan? That last seconds of that game, I'm jumping ahead now. You should have been looking at our guy, Dez. And you know what? Terrence, you're our guy, too. Don't get me wrong. But Dez is the guy. And Dez, you could see him pointing at the sideline like, get out. You got to be thinking like that, man. You really do.
That was, you had an opportunity to steal one that you should have won. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was like that Gary Johnson running for president. What's a lipo? He had a brain freeze. He just had a brain freeze. That's all.
Absolutely.
It cost us a goddamn game, but it cost that guy the election too, possibly.
A chance at one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So on the other side of the ball now, on the other side, we talked a little bit about the defensive line. Let's talk about the defensive line. We just added Cowboys signed veteran defensive end Davis for pass rush depth. This is Ryan Davis, a 3-year veteran with 11 career sacks. That's not bad. You're averaging what, 4 sacks? Four sacks a year,
yep.
There? 3 years? We need a guy like this. We need someone to put pressure. Eli's not that damn good. I don't care what the hell they were talking about. Eli is Eli.
We talked about that as far as one of our keys to the game was getting pressure on Eli, and we didn't have a ton of that.
And that, no, you know, and you put pressure on him, he'll fold, man. That's guaranteed.
He'll
That guy is not a solid back there under pressure at all. No. He'll walk right into a sack.
He will give you some looks and some opportunities to steal a game away if you put the pressure on him. And, you know, he's one of those guys. He has some decent escapability, but he's not going to kill you. He's not a
– he doesn't want to take chances.
What I call like a 4-2 quarterback. Like what we have, what we think we have in Dak, all right?
Right.
So, you know, he's not going to get out of the pocket and run for 30 yards. You know, he's one of those guys. He's like Romo. You know, he sits back in there. He can move around, shuffle around, find a hole, maybe get up to the line of scrimmage, maybe gain 3 or 4, but he's not running down the field like a Prescott has that ability to. So all you got to do is get that pressure on him. And, man, it killed us. And I'm glad we got this new guy coming in, where we can hopefully bring him in and get him up to speed pretty quick.
But I'm saying this too, Steve-O. I need a guy in the middle, a defensive lineman in the middle. They're busting these through the middle on these runs. These runs are not – I mean, we're looking at a defensive end. Hell, go get a defensive lineman in the middle too. Some guy, some stouchy guy that looks like me that could eat like 12 donuts and put him right there. He can't get moved, man, and they're getting moved. At least if you're getting moved, go down. Go down so you clog up the goddamn hole. These guys are being shoved back like a goddamn agriculture equipment there.
That's one of the things what we expected to happen on our offense to do that. And we knew we were a little susceptible back there. So I can't.
We never did that. Our offensive line from last year, I didn't see holes like that. Those were, goddamn, you could throw an 18-wheeler through those holes.
But we talked about that. The defense played exactly what we expected them to play like. We wanted a little bit more pressure.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what we wanted. But we knew Claiborne was going to get two holding penalties.
Yeah, I told you that, didn't I?
We knew we were going to be a little
thin
back there.
Folks, by the way, on that one, I get a text message from Steve-O, and he says, now, the special teams hold count. I go, well, hell yeah, it's a goddamn hold. What do you think? A hold is a hold. He goes, I guess you're right.
So you're still on pace to win that one, huh?
Yeah, fuck, you had it at, what, 1.5?
1.5,
I got 2. I told you 2 is what he's going to get. Our linebacker play, we can't cover any tight ends, any running backs that come out. These guys are not good cover people at all. I mean, there were plenty of third downs that you've seen these guys converting, and that wears down the defensive line too. I'm not making excuses for our defensive line, but you know what? When we got 3rd down and 5, 3rd down and 6, we got to stop it. We got to stop. And again, the DBs can look and say, well, if they put any pressure on the guy, I mean, how long could I protect? How long could I hold a stick to a guy for 4, 5, 6 seconds? That's impossible for me.
Exactly.
This is the NFL.
And that leads into another thing. You got your heart medicine?
Go ahead.
What in the hell is going on? Now, folks, we have to watch these games in our marketplace up here, all right?
I think I know where you're going.
We're in a St. Louis marketplace.
Oh.
But what in the hell is going on when Victor Cruz catches a pass and it seems like there's 75,000 people yelling Cruz?
Are you kidding me?
We were in Dallas, weren't we?
We were in Dallas. That was sick. That was sick.
I hope it was just three guys there.
We're in St. Louis and we're big Cowboy fans, and I tell you what, that is unacceptable, Dallas. You do not sell your damn tickets to all these Giant fans, all right? God damn it. I wish I had won the lotto this week. I would have bought all them tickets, put in people that in Dallas that love the Cowboys that can't afford a game, and go watch the Cowboys play. I guarantee you they wouldn't be yelling, Cruz, you silly bastards. I can't believe you're selling your tickets down in Dallas.
That is, I knew you were going to get fired up on that.
That pissed me off.
I know
I told you about it right there. I go, what is happening down? Where are we playing? And you said, I think we're playing in Dallas.
I don't know. I hope. I know our fans travel well, okay?
They don't travel. We live in these other places. We love our Cowboys. That's one thing about Dallas I got to tell you guys. There's a lot of us out there. I don't care if you guys travel or not. Obviously, you don't travel if you're going to sell your Victor Cruz tickets. But for us, we're up here, and we love our Cowboys. We'll fill a stadium. My God, we'll never betray our boys like that. I don't want to hear Victor Cruz. I don't want to hear a Bears chant. I don't want to hear any of that shit.
I knew you'd fire up on that one.
You know, it bothered me a lot. It really did.
I know it did.
And going to our cornerbacks, Claiborne. Claiborne played all right. He stuck a little bit, and then he got into that handy grab-ass bullshit again. But I guess he'll do what he does. If you're the referee, you're just going to have to say, you know what, he's going to hold 10, 15 times. I'll call him for 2.
Right. So, now, and, see, that's where – I mean, I look at it, and I think we were spot on with our defensive assessment after preseason.
And Carr wasn't tight either. I mean, he picked off a ball that I think my 6-year-old kid could have caught.
It came right to him.
It looked like Larry Brown in the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh again. Run that in for a TD, for love of God. Don't just sit there and lay. I mean, he almost dropped that too. He bobbled that one.
Well, you know why they're cornerbacks, right? Because they can't catch or they'd be receivers.
Yeah, well, I'd like to be very liberal with that count too of them being cornerbacks. Our team in general. What did you grade our offense?
I graded our offense.
Don't give me the offense. Okay. Give me the special teams.
Special teams, I gave him a B.
I gave him a solid B as well.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing.
Tell me why.
There was nothing spectacular. But let me take that back because you're getting into the Dan Bailey part of it.
Not yet. I was looking at the kickoff section because they were playing really good.
Yeah, absolutely. punt-wise,
they were on
both, both our side and their side.
They were sticking.
Everything was fine there. Nothing stuck out to me. On that part of it. I thought we did fine. Our punter did great.
It could have possibly been an A-minus if Claiborne doesn't hold on a big play right there, too.
It takes something special. Let me tell you who is awesome.
I troll the guy a lot.
I know you do. Danny Bailey.
Oh, God bless him. I love that guy, man.
Hey, now.
Cool Hand Luke.
He was, what did he tell the coaching staff? He's good at 56, 57 or something like that.
Jesus Christ.
Hey. If Terrence Williams gets out of bounds, we're looking at a 62-yarder.
Yeah.
Why is it, and maybe you know this a little bit better than maybe some other people out there, but why is it these guys kick 62-yarders, or when they're at 50, you know, 6, it's 10 yards through the uprights, and all of a sudden they might get to a 62, and they got nothing? Is it like golf where they're just trying to hit it too hard?
Can I tell you this? Yeah. That's on my mind on this. That's what I would be thinking. I think once you get in that middle of the field, once you're stepping on that star, now it's like a deep water. You're in the deep shit ocean right now where you don't see any more land. I really think that. I really think that once you get to that 50-yard line, the 50-yard line itself, not the 50-yard kick,
right,
but 50-yard line, now you've entered a realm that's, holy shit, I'm kicking a half a football field. I think it plays with their head. I don't care how cool you are about it. I think it plays a big role.
I would have liked to have seen him get the opportunity to 62-yarder, see what he could do.
Dude, he was drilling it.
He was flush. I mean, it's almost like a golf swing, right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you sit up there. Like, sometimes I get up there and I swing like an asshole, and the ball goes all over the place.
No, not you.
But there's sometimes where you just step up and you just nice, easy swing
he makes it look so easy, he's so casual about it. I mean, this is the kind of guy that if you're going out, this is the guy that you go out with, and this is the guy that – find you all the gals. This is the cool dude.
Yeah, but so we give him an A+. But there's a double edged sword to that, because he made so many that he really took away from. I won't say took away from. He took advantage of our offense not punching it in the end zone.
Well, I think you just played on something very good here, because now you just brought something up that I'd never even thought of. Now you're saying, which is great. Now you're saying, do they even get fired up to do anything when they're in the 35, 40-yard line? Or, you know what? Are they happy? Are they content to get 3 points out of it? I mean, they're not hungry enough like a Drew Brees to say, hey, we got to get our ball in there.
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, they get to the point where we knew it was going to be a slugfest based off of our defense, and did our offense sit there and go, oh, okay, well, we're here, and we got Bailey back there who's going to drill it from anywhere on the field, and we're fine. I mean, sometimes you think of, well, crap, maybe if we had a shitty kicker.
Don't want to hear that. But, we don't want to hear that. Cowboy gods.
But the motivation that,
you know what? If you got a shitty kicker, you might as well have a shit season rest of the year, because that kicker thing –
you watched Red Zone, or, you know, I know you're watching a lot of the games too. I saw so many missed kicks. I mean, it was all day long. This kicking is starting to be a big play.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think it almost makes it to where it's becoming, the NFL knows it too. These guys have got launch pads in their feet, man. I mean, they're hitting these balls, especially our kicker. Knock on wood, I'm not gonna curse him or anything right now. I don't even want to talk about it. He's the kind of pitcher that you just let him go. Don't even talk to him. Let him pitch in the 7th, 8th inning, 9th inning, whatever you want to do, pal. It's your game. So you know what, Bailey? Just keep up your hard work. We love you over here at CowboysPodcast.com. Hey, friends, by the way, Lineup Media, we've got some great shows at lineupmedia.fm. Lineupmedia.fm. I think we've got over, 50, 60 shows every other week. We've got another podcast coming out. Once you guys get done with our show, you're a part of a big Cardinal baseball show, aren't you?
Yeah, we're running it right now through the podcast Bleacher Bums, but it's two birds on a bat. And it's basically same type format here, but there's three of us that go through.
They stole it from us, didn't they?
I know. The St. Louis Cardinals baseball, which is another team that I really follow heavily. So give that a listen. Two birds on a bat.
That's exactly what it is. How is that? We're in St. Louis, and we've always been Cowboy fans. We don't travel.
No.
This is the home base. Every town, every city has got a home base of the Dallas Cowboys, and God bless you all out there for listening to our show.
Well, you know, I mean, we've been a good run with the Cardinals, 20 years of good run, which is opposite of our 20 years of not really doing a whole lot with the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, maybe we can get both teams a hit this year. It would be something special.
No, it's good because you know what? We lost this game 2019, but we knew what the hell happened out on the field that cost us the game too. And I'm not I'm not talking about Terrence Williams, by the way, because, again, that's a big, long, goddamn field goal. Now we can't throw it all on Terrence Williams like these Cowboy fans are. That's insane. That's insane. If that D-line stops them, if we get this ball back a lot sooner, a lot more other things would have happened in this game.
See, and that's where – and this is where our show's going to, you know, develop, because you're a defense guy, right? And
I am.
And I'm an offense guy. And my whole
That's great.
And my whole point is the whole – what are you doing – not to, you know, is a glass half full, half empty type thing. Are you telling your players, hey, don't make mistakes? Or are you telling your players, hey, we got to go out and make plays? That Jack Del Rio call at the end of the Oakland Raiders
what a
game.
Ballsy call.
That's a ballsy. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's an old cowboy, too.
That's what I want.
Boom.
I don't want the backup quarterback for three Super Bowls who had the best job in America calling our plays or running. That's what I'm
not
talking
only
about.
That.
Too conservative. This Jack Del Rio says, hey, stop me.
No,
I'm putting it in the end zone.
Well, you know the thing about that is he doesn't have faith in his defense.
They've
given up 33, 34 points. He's thinking, shit, they're just going to march down, get a field goal. I'm done.
Exactly. And that's
I'm done.
Against Drew Brees.
Yeah. He did exactly unorthodox what 26, 27 other coaches out there would have said, you can't do that. You know what? One time during that march, New York Giants, I was like, score. Let him score. Let's get this goddamn ball back. We're not going to get this ball back if we can't stop him.
Yeah, the old lay down and let him run it in.
Let him go. Act like you're going to tackle him. Let him get in. Run beside him because then he'll pick it up. He'll know what the hell's going on.
Right.
But you know what? Just let him score. Let's get this ball back. Now, I don't know if Prescott's that type of guy. I know Romo is. Romo could definitely lead a team like that. But, again, we don't have Romo, and John will stop doing that shit. You're going to have to stop talking about Romo. It's Prescott now, and I love the kid.
But he's going to have to basically stick it to the man, or they're going to have to open it up for him and say, kid, go be an athlete and make plays.
Right.
And once they allow him to make his plays, then I think you'll see a different offense where you're going to start getting into that 27, 28 points a game, not in the teens. We're not going to win very many games this year scoring 19 points.
No.
We don't have the defense.
No. And you know what? It's amazing we kept them down to 20. There were times when they could have run that up too. Any case, I'm not going to talk anymore about that. What about our we just covered the special teams. Let's go to the offensive side. Let's go to offensive line.
Offensive line, C.
A C?
C.
I gave it a C-, but, yeah, C to C-, I'll buy that. But you know what? Their passing was damn good. Their pass blocking,
yes,
they did hold up for Prescott.
Yep. But that's secondary to opening the hole for Elliott.
Again, I'm going to take the C- back. I'm going to take the minus back. I'm going to go with C+. Ooh, big transition here, a whole point. But I'm saying to you right now, I liked the way Morris was running. That's a type of offensive line catered to Alfred Morris type of running. So maybe let's not jump the gun on the offensive line. There were a couple penalties there that we could have held back on. They did a great pass block, and you know what? I'm going to C+.
Okay.
All right. So QB play?
B.
B. Solid B for me too. Running back play?
I'm going to go C.
You're going to go with C.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't think 2.5 yards a carry from the number 4 overall pick in the draft is what we were expecting.
I will go C plus on this only for the fact that one of my key items that I was always pissed off about last year was the third down and short.
Yep.
They got that this year. I'm going to have to say we did get better, so I'm going to give them a C plus.
Here's what I would have liked to seen, and we mentioned this 15, 20 minutes ago. I would have liked to seen a couple more Prescott rollouts, okay, and let him run with it. That's what I would have liked to seen.
Totally down with that. I love that. That's what I was bringing up. If he runs with that, it opens up the defense some more to where you can start hitting these middle guys, and you could actually start if he makes one move on a rollout. That's going to stun that cornerback to get Dez open, give him another 2 yards. That will definitely give him 2 yards extra.
Absolutely.
Can toss the ball over that corner's head, and you could get it over there.
So do you remember that play? It looked like it was a read option play they were going to run, and Elliott and Prescott were there, and Prescott puts it into the breadbasket, and it looks like he wants to take it away. And Elliott wrestles it back away from him. And once again, it's a 1.5 yard gain. But it looked like – a little bit more practice with that. Let's get a little read option in there. You have that. This Prescott, all right, he can pass, right?
Right.
He can run.
He can run.
He can hand the ball off.
He can read.
He can scramble.
Yep.
The one thing I'll mark on him is I saw way too many balls where he threw off his back foot. He has a strong arm. But that's going to come down to cost us one of these games if he's not stepping into these balls. And that's when he had a pretty decent pocket.
Soft throw.
It almost reminded me of a little bit of a Cam Newton. Cam does that quite a bit where he's kind of off the back foot and he has that strong arm. Okay, but there's going to be that time where that ball comes up
Cam
a yard
doesn't
short.
Doesn't look like he does a good job with that ball tossing it.
No,
he gets the receivers. I mean, he's an all-pro type of QB, but I'm telling you right now, I don't like the way he tosses that ball.
I would like to see him step into it, but these guys don't. Hey, I mean, look at Manning. Peyton Manning stepped into all his throws because he had to because his arm was shot.
I think that'll come in time, though, too, Steve-O, because he'll step up into the pocket. Now he seems like more they advance on him, he flushes out of the pocket. Romo, ideal, because – once the pocket collapses, he steps into it like a surfboard into the wave. These guys know how to do that, and that's key. I think Romo's got to talk to him about that. Now, on the defensive side, the D-line, what do we give the D-line?
You know, we set the bar low for them, and I think they were what we expected them to be, and I think that they were a C-.
Okay.
But that's what we expected them to be, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if you got a kid that you know isn't very good in math and he does what you expect him to do, I think you're happy with it. I mean, you'd love to see him exceed it.
Well, you want the damn thing to exceed it a little bit. I mean, if he's going to get a low grade, we looked at this game as the preseason, these guys were putting pressure on. I don't know what it – isn't that amazing? How preseason to regular season, the difference you see in the play.
Which goes back to the question, do you really need 4 preseason games? I get it, you need to evaluate.
Right.
But I think you can evaluate your guys. The games,
and
there's
the fourth
two
game,
totally different. Right.
The fourth game, you're looking at 2 or 3 players anyway.
Right.
Can't you make up your mind and practice with those 2 or 3 players? We have to go through another goddamn game.
Or, hey, put them out there on extend the practice squad to a couple more guys.
Exactly.
Then you can evaluate them.
You're so right.
Hey, and guess what? I can run for president because I'm going to lower the unemployment rate. All I'm doing is extending the
I have no
practice
idea
squad.
What the hell you're talking about right there, but I'll buy it if you can do that.
The POTUS, President of the United States.
All right.
We get an unemployment rate low because we're going
to – now he's got unemployment solved. Our D-line's a D – and a C minus for you. Linebacker play, I'm gonna go with a C plus on that.
I didn't see anything.
Okay,
C plus.
Our defensive backs.
We got a pickoff. All right. We had our one.
We haven't had a pickoff in a while. So yeah, I was throwing that into the equation.
I'm actually gonna go with a B on that one.
B. I'll give them a B minus on this. They did hold
Odell.
I mean, he didn't light it up that much. Cruz took over. damn it, that still irks the hell out of me.
I didn't think his salsa dance was on point this year.
I don't give a shit. I don't like seeing that damn thing at all. But what I do like to see, folks, is our new sponsor, BetDSI.com. Our new sponsor. They've been around for 20 years. Matter of fact, I tell you what, as soon as I found out there are sponsors and they're giving us a little promo here at Cowboys10. You just put that in as a promo, Cowboys10. They give you $10 added on to whatever you you enrolled there. That was perfect. And I put in $75 and $85, and I made my first play of the day here.
Well, I'm glad you find some other place because I'm sick of losing money to you, even though I don't ever pay it.
Well, you know what? A lot of people have run away from me, and these guys don't run away. They've been around for 20 years. They're a system. People love this. All sports betting evolves around BetDSI.com. What do you got on this one? Our intern. Yeah.
So these guys, like, on the internet have been around forever. They are like the standard for online sports betting and everything. They have awesome service. So like if you have, you know what I mean, if you need help depositing or whatever it is, need help on the registration process, they're
big time customer service. I've seen that on the site too.
Yeah, five-star rated.
Yeah.
No, five-star rated. Where do you go to make a $25 play tonight? I found them. $25 play brings me back $168. Boom. And that's not over. Because as soon as I was about to hit accept on that, a red thing flashed up, said, that's not the right odds. And I'm like, oh, well, you're going to take money off my odds now, right? No, they increased it to $171 is the new money on this one because the odds just shifted right there. Uh-huh. How great is that? No one's out to screw you on this. This is a great site. BetDSI.com. How can you go wrong with it?
Use our promo code, too. Cowboys 10.
You're right. You're so right. Why not use our promo code? You get
$10. That's how you get the free money.
And it gives us a little bit of exposure because they'll know you guys are playing out there.
BetDSI.com. I mean, it's really easy to register. It's just, you know, your name, your email address, you fill it in. You enter the promo code, and you're off to the races with some free cash.
So. Whatever you want to bet, too. Baseball, basketball.
Even the election.
Casinos.
Even the election.
Elections are on there.
They've got Hillary versus Trump. Who's going to win? They got all kinds of odds. Hundreds of weekly NFL wagers, everything, you know, outside of that.
I'm not sure about this, but I thought I also seen horse betting, too.
I think everything. I think they
holy shit, how could you go wrong with this? Yeah.
Well, I go wrong on all betting. Just pick opposite of what I pick.
All right, so from now on, you will give a pick, and my people out there, go to our site at BetDSI.com, our new sponsor, and bet opposite on Steve-O and you'll win. With $10 in the bank already for you. Boom, how could you go wrong? We got a big game coming up this weekend. And that's our rivals, the Washington Redskins.
Well, you know, and you say rivals, I mean, we'll argue about this, but, man, that NFC East, is there any more? I mean, that's every game is a rivalry game, right, for everybody, whether it's the Giants playing the Eagles.
That's interesting you say that.
I mean, it's more so than I think
Has it worn down with the Dallas-Redskin matchup? Is it more the Redskins think it's a big rivalry than Dallas?
No.
Because, well, you know what?
Everyone.
I don't care for Philadelphia. I don't like Philadelphia more than the Redskins. I mean, I care less about the Redskins. I look at Philadelphia. I can't stand Philly.
Yeah.
As a fan, I don't like Philly.
Well, I mean, would name one thing other than the cheesesteak.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I don't have that animosity towards the Redskins, and I don't think the Redskins really have that for us.
Oh,
I think
they
hate the Philadelphia Eagles just as much.
That's the NFC East. We're all rivals. All the time, no matter if it's an up year or a down year. I mean, that's just how it's been, man.
They don't look good either, man. They didn't look good at all.
Well, I mean, I don't know a whole lot of teams that are going to look great against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh did to them what we should be game planning against them. Open up those big holes. I alluded to it earlier, 148 yards for D'Angelo, two touchdowns. Roethlisberger threw for three. That kid's a stud. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's great. I might have to go get a helmet of his. He's that good.
You better not. A cowboy grabbing a goddamn Steeler helmet? Cruz! You're right there with him, aren't you?
Do you not like Roethlisberger?
I hate all of them, I tell you. I'm now getting over Jackie Smith dropping a goddamn ball. Yeah. And here you are telling me you're going to get a Pittsburgh Steeler helmet. I'd eliminate the pest control. I'd put that damn Steeler helmet right by the downstairs basement, right at the entrance or something. Keep everything out of my house.
Listen, I am a fan of football as well, and you got to appreciate guys that do that stuff.
I'm not appreciating anything. Hey. If it's not a Cowboy, I don't even want to wear. You know, my wife, I don't know what the hell she was thinking. She bought me a jersey when the Rams first came here. I go, you got to be kidding. You expect me to wear this Rams jersey? Get the hell out of here. Take that. Give it to someone. Give it to my neighbor. I'm not wearing. I won't wear anything that's not a Dallas Cowboy. That's it. Bottom line. Cowboy and the Reds. We don't want to talk about the Reds. But in any case, we got the Redskins. They haven't shown me anything in their last game. But these pricks, they come out to play against the Cowboys. They always get pumped up about our Cowboys. I don't know what it is. Do they feed them something different? More sirloin? They go to Porterhouse? What is it that makes them pissed off to play against the Cowboys?
It's the rivalry. So what are you looking for in this game? Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more Elliott, more Morris. You know, I would love to see Elliott, you know, get into that 18 carries.
Morris has got to get involved.
I would love to have Morris get into that 10 range.
And Morris, I'm telling you right now, he's going to have that. He's going to have
that. He's circled that on his calendar.
He's going to have that the locker room. They're going to be so pumped up about it. He can't wait to do that baseball swing at Washington.
Yep. So what I'm looking at, I loved our time of possession.
Good kid.
Great kid. I loved our time of possession against New York. I mean, at one point we had run 30 plays and they'd only run 10. I want that. I want the same
possession.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I think we did a great job taking care of the ball, but what I'd love to see is that 17, 18 carries by Elliott. I'd love to see Morris get into that 10, 11, 12 carries. I want to see more Dez.
Yeah, you got to get Dez involved in this.
I want to see a shot down the field.
Right.
Okay.
Not just one either, man.
I don't want to see Beasley getting 12 check down targets. I don't mind Witten, and it's because I got him on my fantasy team. But Witten's the outlet, okay? I don't want Beasley to be the outlet. Hey, right. If Beasley gets 6 targets, that's a great game for him. But I want a couple shots down the field, and I want to see Dak Prescott with a couple of calls on his own to run the ball. Whether it's a quarterback keeper, a rollout, or a broken play or a little pass rush where he's able to scramble and get 10, 12, 15 yards.
No, it's a must. It's a must that we have to do this because, again, it spreads the goddamn defense. We can't have the defense all – our offensive line's not holding that good on the run right now anyway. They're sneaking up to the – and that hurts Elliott. That's not Elliott's style of running. So it all comes back to Prescott. Prescott, you got to break one. At least get their respect. You got to show a little bit of respect towards that. Defense has got to show a little respect towards you, or they're going to be playing front all day.
Now, what I could very easily see is the first play from line of scrimmage is just a go route. Somebody running the 9 and just get it, air it out. Even if you overthrow them by 15 yards, you have got to get that respect that you can go up over the top of them. And you got to soften that defensive stance on theirs.
And the play calling. Folks, let's be clear here. I'm getting sick and tired when we're like in our area, in our 15-yard line or something. God damn, this is not a blueprint that Greg Brady got stolen from the other high school here. You know? I mean, this is a playbook that everyone knows what the hell's going to happen. Come on, folks. Mix it up a little bit. Mix it up. Let them guess a little bit what the hell we're going to do instead of run, and then throw a little screen or draw.
That's just...
It's getting old and it's getting dumb. Any jackass can figure that out, jackass. I'm getting tired of that, too.
Get the blood pressure medicine.
Anyway, folks, it's going to be a good game. We're playing over there. What do you say? What's the score?
Oh, God, you got me gun-shy now. I'm telling you,
Don't be gun-shy. You're a cowboy.
We got to put up over 27.
27.
Okay.
27 sounds like a great number.
I like 27.
Uh-huh.
21.
God damn it. You're making that tight game again. I'm on blood pressure, man, and here you are giving me – I got to win by 6 points, he's saying. What is the spread on this one anyway?
I'm not sure. Let's check out our sponsor.
Our new sponsor, BetDSI.com. I'm sure you guys could get on there right now, find out future NFL plays, whatever the lines are, what money lines and all that stuff. We'll find that out. I think it'll probably be -3 Washington. I'm just saying, I don't know.
I would agree with you. I don't
two
think
and a half to three opening up and probably go down to -1 when the betting stops on it. Game
yeah,
time.
I would say open it at 3 and then go down. But
to 1 to or pick them. Pick them or 1.
I'd go 1.
-1 Washington.
-1. Yep.
So we just got to win that.
And are we setting our own lines here or are we going to go off the website? Let's go.
Well, let's can you keep them busy for a second here? Let me find out what the spread on this one is. Sportsbook.
Yeah.
I love this site, man. This is such a great site. But in any case, so you're saying it's a 27-21 type of game?
Yeah, I mean, hey, we've been right on the money with some of our other calls with the holdings and everything like that. I'm a little nervous about my call on how many the over-under on Elliott this year with yards, but
I told you about that. I got the Claiborne.
I know. You got Claiborne right on, but I need Elliott to break out about $1.50.
Hey, what do you like about – I tell you what, this whole NFL week here is a tough week. What do you think about the Jets-Buffalo game?
What do I think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, what's this I can't wait to keep playing this line at BetDSI.com. I'd like to know what you're going to play on this one.
Where are they at?
They are in Buffalo. Buffalo always beats the Jets. I don't know what it is. They got their number.
Oh, let's see. Watkins has a little foot issue. I don't think they think that's anything.
I think it's practically pick 'em too.
I would go with Buffalo.
I would too. So we're going with Buffalo. Hopefully Watkins comes back and does something here. I got Sammy on my team, by the way.
I got him on my bench.
Hey, you got him on your bench.
Got him on my bench. I went and picked up Cole Beasley after 14 targets.
I think that's a good call. I hope no one listened to our show here on the Cowboy management side. Hey, maybe they're right. Maybe we ought to back off the Beasley.
No, keep throwing to the Beasley.
Keep throwing the Beasley.
I'm selfish that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope it all pays off. And I tell you what, Steve-O, I can't wait to keep watching the games with you, too. We'll get some more info, and our people out there, we're growing.
Yeah, we might. You know what we might have to do is it's tough to wait, 72, hours after the game to do it because, you lose a little bit of that fire. Maybe we'll do something right after a game and, try to break it up into two shows, a half an hour and a half an hour where we can really rant.
I can't just talk for a half hour. I love talking like all this right. For an hour. And I tell you what, I bought another Cowboy jersey.
What'd you get?
You're going to like this one, but I bought an Alfred Morris jersey. I found it on Amazon. I found it on Amazon at CowboysPodcast.com. We slashed that to Amazon, and you're right there. You can shop away and get whatever the hell you want. And you can also go to CowboysPodcast.com and scroll down to the middle of the page. You got Amazon right there. Click away. Maybe you're a big Elliott fan. Maybe you're a Prescott fan. Doesn't matter. Whatever you are, buy a big Cowboy jersey on our site here at CowboyPodcast.com. Go to Amazon. Click on Amazon. You won't see us anymore, and you just shop away.
Love it. Love it.
All right, my friends, that's our show for this week. Again, whatever shows are out there, to tune into lineupmedia.fm. We got all the podcast shows that you will love. And thank you for our new sponsor, BetDSI.com. We want you out there. If you guys are betting, you know what? Bet with people that pay on time, if you know what I mean. All right, take care. From Jono and
Steve-O, go boys.
Take care.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.